We just want to give the Lord thanks for the last couple of days, amen, and that we got out of bed this morning. Praise God for that, right? Had something to eat, have clothing on your back, a place to lay your head. But in all things, give thanks. In every situation is what that really means, give thanks. Find your contentment in Him. That's where your peace is at. How many have discovered that already? The world offers you pseudo-peace, temporary peace, based upon how things are happening externally. But it doesn't matter what's happening externally. We can have the internal peace of the Lord as a peace that what passes all understanding. Wow. I know science is trying to catch up and trying to explain things that are sometimes really beyond words. But you have to taste and see that the Lord is good. An experience for yourself. Because the Lord invites every one of us. He's not a respecter of persons. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all would repent and turn to Him, right? Come to Him. And He said, if you come to Me, I will in no wise cast you out. He wouldn't reject you. So say, I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm accepted in the Beloved because of Jesus and what He's done for me. Do you believe that? Yeah. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. In Christ alone I place my trust. Hallelujah. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, you can have as much of Him as you want. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. Pastor Rick and Debbie, I don't know if you want both one. Can I invite you to come up? Would you come up? I don't know if you knew you're preaching tonight again, but I know he's ready in season out of season, but we thank you for coming and bringing some of your crew with you and for the last couple of days. And Brother Tom and Gretchen, where you at? Are you guys back there? Why don't you come on up? We appreciate you. Oh, yeah, and Richard and Patty, too, I suppose. Can you guys come on up? And my wife, Heisuk, she's back there. She's keeping order back there, so, yeah. Don't mess with her. Yeah, I know. Yeah, she's like, oh, cut it off. Give him that mic. Get that mic away from him. So just love you guys so much. Appreciate this coming together. But if you are not aware, we're at this point we are planning. And what we really want is to seek the will, the heart of God. But how many sense that God is smiling on us tonight? You know, God wants His people together. He wants us to come together and be unified. Amen. And we're part of something much bigger than we are, aren't we? We have a big family. And God assigns us into different areas and different companies and platoons and special forces out there, right, on the front lines. And just God has us where He wants us, but God brings us together. And he's smiling on this because He wants us to be one. Amen. I just appreciate you guys, and we're hoping to be able to, Lord willing, this has been kind of an experiment, but it was something that we all agreed on, felt like we needed to do this, and I really feel the Lord is pleased that we're coming together and we're sharing, we're cross-pollinating, you know. Now, don't read into that. That's in the spirit, all right, yeah. But Rick and Debbie, you know, you started out this week, but you are such a blessing. And, you know, what I like about you guys is that you're so approachable. You know, these guys really are overseers for this section or this area. And they're from Centralia, the Pathway Church of God down there. And, you know, and they have such a heart for God that is contagious. You know, I just love being around them because, you know, birds of a feather flock together. You know, and we all love the Lord. And Richard and Patty, same thing. They've just such a heart for God. And you know, this guy, Richard, he can be really quiet sometimes, but don't let that fool you. I'm about to turn him loose, all right? And the lion of the tribe of Judah is going to be roaring here in just a minute. So, yeah. But I appreciate you guys too, and that, you know, you're the kind of people that you can just be comfortable around and approach. And you too, well, they're doing a work there in Tumwater at the North Star Church of God. And he's a fellow musician. Amen. And thanks for jumping on the bass tonight. He's a risk taker. I like that. He'll grab my bass and get up there because he saw we needed some help up in here. And that's what it's about. We're here to help each other. And Gretchen, thank you for your sweet spirit and your partnership in all this. And I know that if it wasn't for you, I don't know, Tom, is that true or not? Would you be here today? My wife has been helpful. Let me tell you, here's my wife. Honey, say hi back there. It's my little Korean wife back there. She's my sweetheart. Well, how long have we been together now? I should know that. 39 years. Believe it or not. And I know we don't look a day over 20, right? Yeah. Boy, he's fooling them. But no, she's been with me, my partner. And, you know, God calls us as teams. He calls us together. And so you're co-laborers. We're co-laborers. And it's just been fun. You know, it's been a joy to share together this week. And thank you for your sacrifice, too, because, you know, it takes time. And there's tiredness and jobs and other things that we have to do during the day. But I appreciate you guys coming out. And anybody like to just to share a little bit of something before we take off?
Isn't Pastor Keith the best? Yeah, he's great. And you guys already know that. And you know that his wife, Hesuk, does such a good job making him the man he is, huh?
That's right.
And so we love her so much.
Keeping me in line.
Keeping you in line? Yeah? It's kind of like a Johnny Cash song then, huh? Because you're mine, I walk the line, right? It is truly an honor to be with you guys these few nights. And it is our endeavor to do this this next month as well. And we're going to, you know, our heart and our direction that we feel like is to go over with Richard and Patty over there at South Union.
Yeah.
Over there. And and have a good time over there.
Yeah.
Say it again. And but the real heart of this, more than having a meeting or having these get-togethers where, you know, just sometimes these things can be like a burden on people, you know what I mean? The real heart of this is that in our local churches is that we learn to carry this renewal, you know, like we were talking about the other night, to really begin to carry this and really begin to minister to the body of Christ and our communities that are so desperately needing it. You know, our communities have been devastated, and we can say it, this, that, or the other thing, but they've been devastated by sin, and they need Jesus, don't they? Amen. So that's about as far as I can go without preaching. We are on Sunday night. If you know, if you're having revival withdrawals, we're having the bishop is going to be with us over in Centralia, and you're invited, and don't want to pull away from your local service or anything. We start at 6 over there. Yeah, we start at 6. Yeah, and if that were to happen, bring a guitar or something, you know. Yeah. And I should probably pass the mic to somebody else now. Yeah. Does somebody else have something?
No, I said everything I wanted to say last night. I'm good. How many enjoyed Tom's ministry last night? Amen. I get the word articulator. You're an articulator. Yes. Very good. Very good word. Appreciate you for your ministry. You know, I love the diversity of the body of Christ. We all have something to bring to the table, and we work together. You know, and if everybody does their part, we get the job done and Jesus returns. Amen. This gospel shall be preached into all the world as a witness, and then the end shall come. Hallelujah. All right. So thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Let's give Richard and Patty a hand as they come up, all right?
We are the Gilberts. We're so happy to be here with you tonight, and I just wanted to say one thing. Well, it's going to take a whole sentence. Is that all right?
Don't take too much of my time.
I know. I said you're going to have to work fast, buddy, because we're having a lot of talking tonight. The Lord gave me the word double portion, and that comes from a dieter's heart. Ladies, I don't want you to snack tonight. I don't want anybody on those 300-calorie meals. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've been on a diet all week, and we just did a little bit less today just to get ready. But I want you to ask God for a shovelful first and then a dump truck full, and then just lay before the Lord in your spirit and say, I need it all. From your head to your toes, you need to be drenched with the power and the presence of God to make it. I am recently divorced from the public school system. Praise the Lord. And in that statement, I just want to say, He will bring you through. And when He's done, He is done, and He will bring you out. And to a higher place. And to a place where no one could understand could be so sweet. So Jesus, as we've been hearing all week, we've been here every service, just bringing that spoon, bringing that shovel, bringing that dump truck. So you're going to go home full in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. I don't know why everybody's picking on me. I want to do something a little bit different, though, tonight. I want to honor some folks, and I want to ask if you are a veteran or if you're an active duty member of the military, I want you to stand. All our military, I want you to give them a hand. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Remain standing. And now I want to ask if there's any first responders here tonight, or you have been a first responder. I want you to stand. I think we need to support our first responders like never before. I think it's just awful what's been happening to our cops. It's tragic, and we need to honor our first responders, any hospital workers, folks like that. We want to honor you, firemen, policemen. We want to honor you. Okay, then I want all the church pastors and leaders, whether you're a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or you have led children's church, I want you to stand. If you've been active in serving your congregation, your children, one way or another, I want you to stand. Just give them a hand. Give yourselves a hand. If you've ever worked in any type of managerial position, whether you're a supervisor, whether you are a manager, whether you're a director of anything, I want you to stand also. All right? Everyone standing? Let's give them a hand. If you are a parent and you have taught your children, I want you to stand. Give every parent a hand today. If you love Jesus and you want to follow Jesus, I invite you to stand as well. Amen. Give yourselves a hand. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Praise God. Now you may all be seated and turn to someone and say thank you for your service. Did you know that to be a leader, you have to first be a follower? To be someone who hears, you must first be able to listen. The title of my message this morning is, or tonight, I usually preach in the morning, but tonight, when we first talked about doing this and they assigned me this night. I immediately knew it's just like the Holy Spirit dropped in my heart. Preach on the topic led by the Spirit. No matter where we're at in life, God has a plan for us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The hospital where I work, we had a president named Chris. He started out first as a transporter, somebody that would take patients by wheelchair or by bed and lead them throughout the hospital. He became the president of that hospital. Some years ago, I worked for a food company called Food Lion back in the eastern part of the United States. And Food Lion had a president by the name of Tom Smith. Believe it or not, that was his name, very common name, Tom Smith. He started out with Food Lion as a bag boy. Went a long way. Before he could lead, he had to first follow. King David was a shepherd. Gideon, the mighty man of valor, was a thresher of wheat. And Simon Peter was a fisherman. When we follow, we learn. When it comes to following the Holy Ghost and being led by the Holy Ghost, the focus is not to lead, not that we could be leaders, but that we could be learners of the Holy Spirit. And tonight, I'm going to do my very best to take you to the very edge of your heart and try to create a hunger and a thirst in your heart and in your life and in your soul for more of the Holy Ghost. Amen. More of the Holy Ghost to learn more about Him, who He is, and His perfect plan for you. I want that. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's just not on Sundays or Saturday, but I want to be led by the Holy Spirit every day of my life.
Amen.
Amen. I want to learn more about the Holy Spirit. You know, we read in the Word of God and we cannot begin to fathom the depth of the meaning of the Word of God. Every once in a while you read something and then you'll read it again. Well, I forgot that was there, or I don't even know that that was there. And you just keep on learning and keep on growing and keep on learning and keep on growing. Amen. All right. You've got your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8. If you brought your Bibles, I want you to hold it up high. Oh my. I like the old book. Now, some of you holding up phones, if you've got a phone Bible, hold it up. Y'all are pathetic, you know. She's got them both. I'm in a house full of heathens. They don't have the Word of God. I think that they should make an app on your phone Bible, that every time you touch it, you can hear the rustling of pages. That way I would know that you're hearing the Word of God. You're in the Word of God. Well, I don't care if you have it on your phone. I think it's great. But if you have it on your phone, be sure to sanctify the rest of that phone, because there's competition against the Word of God in that phone. But Romans chapter 8. I remember many years ago, I asked my pastor, his name was Billy Sizemore, and he's with the Lord now. But I asked him, I said, "Brother Sizemore, what is your favorite verse in the Bible?" And without a moment's hesitation, he said, "Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. And if you want to read, read along with me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. To those who walk not after the flesh, but after what?
The Spirit.
The Spirit." And it goes on and says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free." Everybody say, free. Amen. "From the law of sin and death." Well, I really do appreciate the book of Romans, chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, I believe that it could almost be an entire book on its own. I don't know when the last time you read Romans chapter 8, but there's a lot of stuff in there. We're going to look at a few things. We're just going to go through and just read a couple scriptures. Some of those you will remember. Maybe you remember reading verse number 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. Verse number 6, for to be carnally minded is what? What? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I appreciate Brother Tom's message yesterday, last night, because we all made it through 2021. Amen. And I appreciate the revelation of seeing the goodness of God even in the pits of 2021. Whatever year it was, last year. Life and peace. Do you think that you can have life and peace in such times as these? Amen! I hope you believe it. Can you remember this one? But if the Spirit of Him, verse number 11, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the one who raised Jesus up from the dead, dwell in you, He will also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Amen. If that same Spirit, that Holy Spirit, how about verse number 14? This is a key verse. For as many that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Well, there's more. Verse 15, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh. Verse 16, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And verse number 18, how many remember this one? For I reckon that the sufferings of 2022 and 2021, that this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Anybody like that one? Oh, that's a good one. Oh, hallelujah. It's all right now if you want to shout a little bit. You're not going to scare me, okay? I might scare you, but you will not scare me. Unless you happen to have a couple snakes around, then you will definitely scare me. You don't have any of those folks around here, do you? You're not that spiritual. Okay. I think your clock is broken, by the way. I think it's about an hour fast. I have to give you a warning. I've never been accused of being a short-winded preacher. Sorry, there it is. Well, let's just go on a little bit further. Verse 26. You like this one. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. That's that deep, deep move of the Holy Ghost in us. Oh God. Oh God. Do your work in us. Amen? Oh. And everybody ought to know Romans 8:28. And we know that all things that work together for the good of them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And verse 31 says, if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? Verse 34, catch this. Listen to this one. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. And what does he do at the right hand of God? He's making intercession for us. Oh, hallelujah! We don't run this race alone, amen. We've got somebody on our side, hallelujah. Perhaps the most quoted of all, I don't know, but read it with me. Who shall separate us, verse 35, from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are what? More than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, or things can come, height, depth, any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in what? Christ Jesus our Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering of praise if you believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Verses 15 through 17, the message reads like this. This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. Brother Tom reminded us last night that we joined an army. We didn't join a social club, amen. Hallelujah. It goes on and says, listen to this. It's an adventurously expectant greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who He is and we know who we are. Father and children. And we know that we're going to get what's coming to us. An unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him, amen. That's what I'm talking about. God's Spirit to lead us and guide us. The Holy Ghost to touch us at the very depth of our core and change us and take us to places we've never, never been before, amen. I want to go where I've never been before. Amen. I want to go where I've never gone before in the spirits. Hallelujah. There's a lot of places I haven't been in this old world, but I would rather go where the Spirit leads me and where the Spirit guides me. You know what the Holy Spirit is going to do? He's going to, if we allow Him, if we are led by the Spirit, He's going to take us where we've never been before. And He will dwell with us forever. The Bible tells us that Jesus went away to prepare a place for us. And if He comes again, He will receive us, that where we are, where He is, we may also be. Where's that at? Yeah, it's not Detroit. It's heaven. Amen. It's heaven. So He has a place prepared for us. Heaven. Anybody want to go to heaven? But what about What about tomorrow? The Holy Spirit has a place for you prepared tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Okay, one more scripture. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of what? The flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If you be, another key verse, if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under law. The message, again, reads like this. My counsel is this. Live freely, animated, and motivated by God's Spirit. Then you won't feel the compulsion of selfishness. For there is a root. Listen. There is a root of selfish self-interest in us that is at odds with a free spirit, just as the free spirit is incompatible with selfishness. These two ways of life are contrary to each other, so that you cannot live at times one way and at times another way according to how you feel on any given day. Why don't you choose to be led by the Spirit and so escape the erratic compulsions of a law-dominated existence? I like that. There's some good meat there. God's plan for His children is to be led by the Holy Spirit. Now let me say this. Thank you for listening to the text. That doesn't count as part of the sermon, by the way. You know that, right? That doesn't count. The sermon starts after the text. Having accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, I can think of nothing more important than being led by the Spirit. A place called Huckleberry Knob is the highest peak in a remote set of mountains called the Unicoi Mountains of North Carolina and Tennessee, topping out at 5,580 feet above sea level. 45 miles away in a drop of 4,000 feet, you'll find a lake called Yellow Nugget Lake. And from it flows a small tributary called Witt Branch. And yet a smaller tributary is coming from Witt Branch, a stream called Barney Creek. Now, you may have never heard of Barney Creek. Now, if you're a Church of God preacher, you might have heard of Barney Creek. Can I say amen? Before the Toronto Blessing in Ontario that started in 1994. Before Brownsville Revival in Pensacola, Florida that started in 1995. Before the charismatic renewal of the Jesus and the Jesus movement, the charismatic movement that started in the 1960s and 1970s. Even before the famed Azusa Street Revival in 1906, led by a man by the name of William Seymour. Before the Welsh Revival in Wales, led by a young man by the name of Evan Roberts. before the Topeka outpouring in 1901, there was a revival in Camp Creek, North Carolina in 1896 at the Shearer Schoolhouse. Let me tell you a little bit about that revival. I'll read this account. Anybody want revival? The interest increased and unexpectedly, like a cloud from a clear sky, the Holy Ghost began to fall on honest, humble, sincere seekers after God. One after another fell under the power of God, and soon quite a number were speaking in other tongues as the spirits gave them the utterance. News of this Holy Spirit outpouring spread to adjoining counties. And people came to witness the phenomenon of Spirit-filled believers speaking in an unknown language. Many sick persons were healed and hundreds of hard sinners were converted. It was a Pentecostal outpouring, an awakening, a recurrence of what happened on the day of Pentecost. And even though it was a sparsely populated area in the mountains, more than 100 persons received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. But before 1896, a group of folks were gathered at a grist mill, August 19th, 1886, at Barney Creek. And at Barney Creek, an old preacher by the name of Richard G. Sperling, 72 years old, he was a Baptist preacher. He came together, and eight others, including his 27-year-old son, came together, and they decided that they were tired of religion as it were. And they wanted to be led by the Holy Spirit. They wanted a new outpouring. They wanted a New Testament Acts experience like never before. And on that day, the Christian Union was formed. In 1902, the Christian Union became the Holiness Church at Camp Creek. In 1907, it became known as the Church of God. Those are the roots of the Church of God. A movement that was founded upon the desire to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. The question I pose for you tonight is, what does it mean to be led by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit? For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, who here wants to be a son or a daughter of God? Amen. So there's a great misconception about the Holy Ghost. Many churches do not believe the way that we believe. And I can kind of understand, because we can kind of, in our minds, we can kind of understand God the Father. We have fathers. We have the figure of a father. We know the attributes of a father. We know the outworkings of a father. Many of us are fathers. So we can understand God the Father. And certainly we can certainly understand about God the Son, Jesus. Amen? We know about Jesus. But the Spirit. How many love the Father? You know, when we see pictures, sometimes you'll see a picture of this guy on a great throne. You know, I mean, little people down here and great big throne, but you can never see the face. It's all whited out, you know. God the Father. I think we best relate to the Son. of the Son, Jesus. Say His name with me, Jesus. Jesus. There's just something about His name. Do you love Jesus tonight? Give Jesus a clap offering of praise if you love Him. Amen. Amen. I love Jesus. Well, you've got an extra benefit tonight. I'm going to share with you another sermon by a man by the name of S. M. Lockridge. Anybody ever heard that name before? Oh, there's one. S. M., by the way, stands for Shadrach Meshach. How would you like to have a name like that? And you might well guess, and you would be right, that S. M. Lockridge's dad was a preacher. And so S. M. became a preacher too. Now you've probably heard this sermon, so not very long. No charge for this. It's called My King. And it goes like this. The Bible says He's the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings and He's the Lord of lords. That's My King. No barriers can hinder Him from pouring out His blessings. No means of measure can define His limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of His shoreless supply. He's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. That's My King. He's God's Son. He's the sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's imminent. He's the loftiest ideal in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine in true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good you choose to call Him. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And He beautifies the meek. Do you know Him? Do you know My King? My King is the key of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the gateway of glory. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy. And His burden is light. I wish I could describe Him to you. Do you know Him? He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him, let alone a man explaining. You can't get Him out of your mind. You can't get Him off of your hands. You can't live without Him. The Pharisees couldn't stand Him, but they found out they couldn't stop Him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in Him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree together. Herod couldn't kill Him. Death couldn't hold Him. Death couldn't handle Him. And the grave couldn't hold Him. Amen. That's My King. He always has been. He always will be. I'm talking about He had no predecessor. He'll have no successor. There was nobody before Him. There'll be nobody after Him. You can't impeach Him, and He's not going to resign. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislator. He's the overseer of overseers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. That's My King. Amen. Thine be the kingdom and the glory. All the power belongs to Him. There is the power, the glory. The glory is all Him. It is all His. Thine be the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all the forevers, then amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we love you, Jesus. Lift up your hands and praise Jesus tonight. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Now, do you love the Holy Ghost? The struggle is we don't know what the Spirit is or what He looks like or how He moves about and what He does. So oftentimes we focus not on the Holy Ghost, but we focus on the Father and we focus on the Son. And we should never detract or never stop doing that because we love them so. But have you considered loving the person of the Holy Spirit? Specifically. We may not often think of the Holy Spirit as a person. Jesus is a person. He was one of us. He looked like us in bodily form, but not so with the Spirit. Where is Jesus? Where is the Spirit? Yeah. Jesus is in heaven. As you well said, He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. We read that a moment ago. The Holy Spirit is here. He's in the church. He's in us. In us. We take it by faith. We receive this truth because we find it here in the Word of God. Even though we can't see or fathom with our imagination or with our mind what the Holy Spirit looks like. Here's another scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Message says, the things we see now and hear today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Are we not body, soul, and spirit? We understand the Holy Spirit as a part of the Trinity or the triunity of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Three in one. We are three in one also, body, soul, and spirit. As a hospital chaplain, I have been at the bedside of hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have passed from this life to the next. And not one family member has ever said, well, that's not a person anymore. They will often say, He's not here anymore. He's there. He doesn't stop being a person. We don't stop being a person when it's time for us to lay down this flesh. Amen. We are spirit. Our spirit will live forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. We are in a natural body, and we are surrounded by natural things. The chair you sit upon, the food you eat, the hair that keeps turning gray or falls out even worse. But we live in a natural body, in a natural world. But that's not all there is. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him. How? In spirit and in truth. Jesus told the Pharisee Nicodemus, except a man be born of water, natural, and the spirit, supernatural, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, natural. But that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, supernatural. The wind blows wherever it will, but you can't see it. And you can't see how a person is born of the Spirit because it's supernatural. It happens inside of our spirit. I don't know how it works. I don't know how regeneration works. I just know that it does. Because once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. My sins are gone. Amen. As far as the east is from the west, my sins have been forgiven. My name's been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm going to heaven. I hope you are too. Amen. Romans chapter 8 verse 11 said, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it shall also quicken your mortal bodies. One translation says, when God lives and breathes in you, and He does, as surely as He did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. Now, let me expand on that just a minute. The dead life, that is the law. That's the flesh. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, saints of God, we are not under the spirit of bondage. We're not slaves anymore. Amen? We're not slaves anymore. We're not held captive by the natural things that are in opposition to the plan and the will of God for our lives. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can break those things and we can live victorious in Jesus Christ. We must be led by the Holy Spirit to set aside the natural inclinations that war against the Spirit. I want you to fall in love with the Holy Spirit like never before. That's what I want for me. You see, the Holy Spirit is a person. Some folks don't believe that. Some churches don't believe that. As I mentioned, they can't understand it, so they just, We just go on with the Son and the Father. Some people would say that the Holy Spirit is an impersonal force like radar or electricity. Some believe He's an angel. Oneness folks believe that God changes forms. At one time He's the Father, and when necessary He changes His mode, and then He's the Holy Spirit. I think God's Word is clear. If the Holy Spirit is a divine person, think about this. If the Holy Spirit is a divine person, our worship is going to be radically different than if it were an emanation or an influence or a force from God. I want to worship the Holy Spirit. We worship the Son. Let us worship the Holy Spirit. Amen. If the Spirit is a person within the triune of the nature of God, would He not be worthy to receive our adoration and our love? Amen. Well, unless you think I ran out of Bible verses, I've got a few more. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion, listen to that, the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Acts 15:28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay aside or to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Acts 5 verse 3 said, Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep part of the price of the land back? Matthew 12:31, wherefore I say unto you, very sober, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Jesus said in John 16:7, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for me to go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. John 14:16-18. I will pray the Father, and He shall send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and He shall be in you. Ephesians 4:30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Where's the Holy Ghost? He's in you. Which you have of God, and you are not your own. Anybody believe that? Yes. You are not your own, because you are bought with a price. Therefore, the Word of God says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It happens when we are born again. When I think of that scripture, I want to suggest to you just a simple phrase, and I hope it changes you. Be a host to the Holy Ghost. Being led by the Holy Spirit. There's three things very quickly. Number one, the second and third things are all predicated upon the first. Number one, love. If you don't love the Holy Spirit, if you don't love the Holy Ghost, you can't be led. Because your flesh will war against this. You can love a person, you can be led by a person. You can set your affection on the Holy Spirit just like you do Jesus. Now here's something I want you to consider. So often we pray for the Holy Ghost, and what do we pray for when we pray for the Holy Ghost? We pray for power. We want the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We want the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon us. We want those things. We want the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We want to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation. Amen. We want to see that, and so we pray for that. And so we should. But when our focus is on the gifts, or our focus is on the anointing, or our focus is on the power, I think we ought to just focus on loving the Holy Ghost, because He lives with us. Amen. What is the Holy Ghost to us? The Scripture says He's Comforter. He's Advocate. He's Convictor. He's Counselor. He's our Guide. He's our Helper. He's our Teacher. Maybe you've never heard this, but I want you to hear it loud and clear tonight, And I want you to remember it for the rest of your life. The Holy Ghost loves you. Amen.
Amen.
Lift your hands and thank Him. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for your love. For your love for us. Hallelujah. We want to host you, O Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost loves you so much that He is in you. Now the Holy Ghost will lead you in good places if you let Him lead you. So, often we talk about walking in the Spirit. We talk about those kind of things. Let us be led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves you. That's number one. Number two, if we will host the Holy Spirit, let us cooperate with the plan of God. This is what I'm talking about by being led by the Spirit. We talk about walking in the Spirit. We can walk in the Spirit. We can talk in the Spirit. We can run in the Spirit. We can dance in the Spirit. We can shout in the Spirit. We can fall to our feet in the Spirit when we're slain in the Spirit. We can listen to the Spirit. We can hear the Spirit. And you've seen folks that run the aisles and shout glory, hallelujah. But if we're not led by the Spirit, we're not where we need to be. See, God gave us this thing called emotions, and we can get our emotions way ramped up. Amen. We feel we call it the Holy Ghost bumps. Well, I don't know, and sometimes I'm as guilty as the next man. I want to shout, I want to dance, I want to run, and all of those things. But if I'm not led by the Spirit, I'm not where I need to be. Some would say that to be led by the Holy Spirit is to be able to listen to your heart or your own conscience. Do you think the Holy Spirit leads us through our minds or through our intellects? Do you think the Holy Spirit leads us through our emotions or our flesh? When you're born again, just as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, you are born again by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. Your spirit within has been born again. It has been set upon by the supernatural impartation of the Holy Spirit. It's not the same as it used to be. It's not the same as you once were. It's been rejuvenated. It's been empowered. It's been touched by the Holy Ghost. Now, what I'm talking about at new birth is not the same thing as being filled with the Holy Ghost or being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a difference. My time is running out, so I don't guess I can preach that sermon. The Holy Spirit does not use our intellect or emotions or our flesh to learn us the deep things of God. But the Holy Spirit tells us how to live if we let Him lead us. The Bible tells us, you know this one in Proverbs chapter 3. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways. All your ways, your body, your soul, your spirit. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. Cooperate. Are you willing to pay the price to cooperate with the Holy Spirit? God puts us in a position so that we might surrender to the Holy Spirit. He brings situations and circumstances into our lives for a specific reason and for a specific purpose. See, being led is not demanding the direction the Holy Spirit take us. We can't have peace without understanding if we demand to understand what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. The Holy Spirit doesn't always lead us to the mountains. All the good things, all the blessings, all the sweet things of God. Sometimes we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we fear no evil because He is with us. So in those tough times, what are we going to do? Are we going to quit? You see, our human reasoning must fall to being obedient to the Holy Spirit's direction for our lives. Lordship requires a letting go of our personal control without full knowledge of where He's going to take us. We cannot quit. But there's always the person, and us pastors, we know all about this. There's always somebody that ready to run away or ready to quit. Because somebody did me wrong. Somebody in the church. Maybe the pastor. Oh, the pastor did me wrong. Whatever. You know, we've heard it. You've heard it. Could it be that injustices happen in our life because there's a lesson to learn? No one likes injustice. No one likes unfairness. But can the Holy Ghost guide us in and through such events so that we can learn? Not to put our trust in man, not to put our trust in those kind of things, but to lean on the Lord, to be led by the Lord. So, love, be in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. And then you have a call on your life. If you've been born again, and especially if you've been filled with the Spirit, God's got a plan and a call and a mandate for you. Okay? Now you watch out because I might step on toes. I don't know. I don't do this intentionally, but sometimes it just happens. I might walk down the aisle and find some toes sticking out here. We are to impart the Holy Ghost to others. We are called to be light in this world. We are called, and Brother Tom mentioned it, we are called to live in a fear-filled world and walk into this world and release the Holy Ghost to other people. We don't minister doctrine. We don't minister teachings. We don't minister preaching. We minister a person called the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost wants to save people. Amen. You get the doctrine squared away after they get filled with God. By the way, now I'm going to take a survey. Survey says, how many of you would love for Jesus to come right now? How many remember, some of you gray-haired folks, how many of you remember the term Maranatha? Tell me what that means. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Anybody been praying that way lately? Well, let me challenge you just a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance. You see, I look at it like this, and I want Jesus to come. I'm not going to lie to you. But you see, the invitation is still extended. Whosoever will, let him come. The Holy Ghost has not yet stopped working. The Father has not said to the Son, go and get my bride. The invitation is still, whosoever will, amen. And so let us keep our focus on what we are supposed to do. We are to impart the ministry of the gospel and depart the ministry of the Holy Ghost to other people. Can you grasp that? Can you understand that? God wants us to be up and about the Father's business. Oh, I want to stop looking for an escape hatch, amen, and say, Lord, I'm ready when you're ready, but I'm going to be working until then, amen. Okay. From Barney Creek in 1886 to today, the Church of God has maintained the call to be a Holiness Church. It has, since that outpouring of the Holy Ghost in 1896, continued to be known as a Pentecostal church, the oldest Pentecostal denomination in America. The Church of God believes to this day in one God existing in three persons, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the Declaration of Faith, Article Number 8 declares, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost subsequent to a clean heart, and the following, in speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, and that is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, the church should be a Spirit-filled, Spirit-led church. Amen. Let me take it a step further and say, speaking in tongues and operating in all the gifts of the Spirit should not be weird or strange or occasional, amen. We do not believe in the cessation gifts. We believe that the gifts are for today, amen. And tongues are for today, amen. And you shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, amen. From that gristmill and eight people, let me tell you what the person of the Holy Spirit did. From the heart of that 72-year-old preacher man named Richard Sperling, the statistics of September 2021 are as such. The Church of God serves 185 countries and territories. There are 40,997 churches. There are 4,292 missions. There are 47,211 ministers. There are 7,679,313 members. There are 580 missionaries. There are 116 Bible schools, colleges, and universities. There are 38,625 students. In September alone, one month last year, there were 28,576 people born again in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? 25,927 were sanctified. 6,884 people were baptized in the Holy Ghost, and 6,140 people were baptized in water. Barney Creek has come a long way. I'm not promoting a church. I'm promoting the Holy Spirit. You don't know what tomorrow holds. But if you let the Holy Spirit, He'll lead you through it. Amen.